Thank you, Wes. Where are we at?
Where do you want to stand?
Right here. Hey, everybody, I'm Jonah Manatic. I don't know, I had to go share at a treatment facility last night. I feel like I got the good one out of the way, so. Sorry. So I guess first and foremost, me and my little family unit were pulling up here, and my wife is like, is this us? Right? And I started thinking the same thing, like, we're out here, right? Like, back at it, and they still kicking, you know? That shit means a lot to me. We've been discussing quite a bit. I've been discussing with other people how big I feel like this retreat's going to be this year. Right? I plan on getting out of there at 10 in the morning. Lance said I can't be there until 12, but I don't know if I'm going to listen. Like I said, man, like, it, to me, like, this kind of stuff means a lot to me. I'm going to try not to swear too much because there's kids, but I'm prone to swearing. I don't know. But it just means a lot to me, man, that we're all kind of, we're able to get back out here. I know you're sorry. Sit down and finish your time out. That we're all back out here, man, and we're all, you know, back in the atmosphere of love, right? I was kind of trying to maybe prepare something to say while I'm up here because I don't know which way I'm going. I was asked to share. I said, sure, and I just showed up, right? But honestly, man, the only thing that keeps coming to my head is steps. I ain't trying to throw shade or nothing, man, but like a lot of times I go to meetings, dude, and like I just don't hear about steps. You know what I mean? I don't hear about the application. I don't hear about how other people's experiences with them. And like I said it last night, like if you're coming around NA and hanging out in the basement and like you ain't working steps, you picked a weird fucking place to hang out, man. You know what I mean? Like my reality is like I don't get better without the application of the principles of the steps, right? They have been the thing that have led me to be myself. The most spiritual thing that I can be at any point in time is me. Anything past that, right? Like I'm usually out in defect. A huge point for me is like that. I want to be accepted, right? Like the reality is at any given day, my disease tells me that I'm not good enough, I don't have enough, and in general, I'm just not enough, right? So what I need a lot of times and what I look for a lot of times is for other people within my circle or outside of my circle and society in general, right, to just accept me for who I am. But the thing is when I'm looking for your acceptance, that's when I'm everything but me, right? So the steps kind of gave me that pathway to figure out who it is I actually am and gave me permission to be who I am on purpose, right? Like the qualifying part, like I live to use and use to live, right? And I'm not going to tell you that shit still doesn't go on today, right? I like food, you know what I mean? And sometimes I wake up, my first thought is, what am I going to eat? And then after I eat it, I think to myself, what other delicious foods am I going to eat next? You know what I mean? So like I'm going, you know what I mean? Once I'm done with the first, once I got the first one, I start to think already about the next one. And that might sound weird, man, but like the reality is like I'm not always eating healthy. I'm not necessarily taking care of myself on a consistent basis. And I got a 5-year-old little boy and a wife who just graduated college. Like life is just starting for me for real. I'm 35 years old. I'm not really the dude who likes vegetables and fruit, so I mean, there's a good chance that like my arteries are a little fucking clogged. You know what I mean? Like so like these are just realities to me, man, and things that I need to pay attention to because like I didn't get clean to die of a heart attack at 40 years old. Like a whole point of restoration, when I read and it works how and why, and it tells me that restoration is a lifelong process, and like I don't necessarily understand it. But then, like, I try to gain a greater understanding so I can accept the statement, right? Part of my first step is me understanding because Look, when I first came around, I was bisexual, right? I attended one fellowship and another fellowship, and I had a step working guide, and then I was working steps out of another book with some other dude, right? Like, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I just knew I didn't want to use no more, right? I didn't know where that was going to happen for me, how that was going to happen. I just knew it hurt too bad. But like part of that is, like, I went to a dude somewhere else and I told him an issue I had, and he kind of gave me that point of like, well, you just got to accept it. How the fuck do I accept something that seems to me unacceptable? You know what I mean? Like, I didn't grasp that. Right? I wasn't working with too much my first year clean, man. Like, it's not like I was in these deep points of thought that I was contemplating my meaning or my purpose or actually how to apply principles. I didn't even really know spiritual principles were that important my first year, right? So, like, he tells me that, and I don't get it, right? But then the sponsor that I have now, like, I get with him, and he explains to me, right, that the way I start gaining acceptance of something, and this works for me, I don't know if it works for you, but if I can gain a greater understanding of the situation, the people involved, my feelings, my thoughts. Like, if I can gain a greater understanding of all that, I can usually find a greater point of acceptance with it, and I can move forward without that obsession on whatever that may be. For me, man, like, when it comes to a first step, I was working one day, and I gave lectures at work, and I had already worked the first step. I think I was on, like, my fifth. And I just said some slick shit out of my mouth, right? Because, like, I can talk. You know what I mean? I don't always necessarily know what I'm saying, but it usually sounds okay. But I said, I was talking, and I was giving this lecture, and I was like, we're talking about powerlessness. And it just kind of rang in my head, well, can you control what you think all the time? And, like, I've been diagnosed with adult ADHD and all that kind of shit, right? So, like, I know for me that, like, at any given moment, it could happen right now when I'm talking to you that, like, in my head I start chasing bunny rabbits in a field full of flowers. You know what I mean? And, like, I don't necessarily want that to happen. I want to maintain engaged in the moment and, like, be here with you, right? But, like, my thought process doesn't always allow me to do that. So, like, it's an understanding that, like, I'm powerless over the way that I think a lot of times. That shit that comes in, that nasty stuff, right? And like when I start having some money issues, and one of my first thoughts is like, well, when my grandma passes away, she'll be leaving me a bunch of money. Like, I don't want to think that kind of shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want those things coming through my mind. But, like, I don't necessarily have control over that. Like, that gave me a point that, like, my thoughts and my feelings, like, I'm powerless over, and I don't maintain control over them at all points in time. And the reality that, like, I do have control over the things that I do. Right? So, a huge part of a first step, man, is just because I think it, just because I feel it, doesn't mean I have to do anything about it. Or maybe I need to do something about it. It all depends. Right? Understanding that a first step allows me to keep my hands to myself or maintain seated when all I want to do is move. Like, general application for me, man, is like, just because I'm hungry doesn't mean I have to fucking eat. Like, dude, if you already ate a massive amount of food for breakfast, you probably don't need some fucking cheesecake at 10 a.m. in the morning. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it might be weird that I'm relating it to this, but, like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, that's where we're at. Like, I've been taught, like, through my step process that there's three primary principles to every step. Now, the steps that I was taught were worked before literature came out, right? And they've just kind of been passed down. So some of the principles that I identify in a step aren't necessarily ones that are talked about in a book. But it also tells us in our second tradition that spiritual principles always complement, never conflict and always complement, right? So, like, just when I'm being honest, like, that requires courage, that requires faith, that requires some commitment, that requires, right? Like, they come together. But, like, I was taught is honesty, acceptance, and surrender are primary principles of a first step. And for me, like, that whole honesty piece is just me, like, being honest with myself about who I am. And not just, like, who I am over here or who I am over there, but the whole picture. Right? Like, when I get those nasty thoughts, it's like that honest point of, like, being a human being. When I think about using with some extended period of time clean and steps worked, like, it's understanding that, like, I'm an addict. And, like, that shit's going to come into play no matter what happens. Right? I thought at some point in time maybe I'd stop thinking about it, but, like, that shit never came. We're not there. You know what I mean? I get them drive-bys all the time. Smoking crack sounds like a good idea, right? But, like, it's that honest appraisal of myself, man, and that point of moving from denial that this is who I am. The most spiritual thing I can be is myself. Well, this is Drew. Like, good, bad, or indifferent, like, here we are. The best thing I can do is just try to act accordingly when I have those thoughts or when something happens that I don't necessarily agree with. Like, a reality is, man, is like I don't always have to voice the fact that I don't agree with you. But I got a big mouth and I like to talk. So, like, that point of honesty, man, has been necessary and it's the first principle of the first step. Is what I'm taught. So, like, there's some major importance to it, right? And then the acceptance is like the glue of the actual step. It's the acceptance of myself, who I am, the things that I think, the things that I feel, and just being okay with it, and the acceptance that NA is the answer, right? The principles of Narcotics Anonymous has been, will be, the answer for me. A dude that I know real well talks quite a bit, and my man always says, the answer is always more NA. And, like, to me, like, nothing could be more true, right? It doesn't always necessarily mean that, like, I need to hit the road and neglect my family every chance that I get because, like, I have to show up for NA. It means to me that, like, it's always more principles. There's always something more that I can apply. There's always some other way that I can move forward through the principles and the steps that I'm taught in Narcotics Anonymous, right? And then once I hit that, like, surrender was a huge issue for me, right? Like, I got military in my background. Like, it almost brainwashed in a way that, like, that word surrender was a dirty word and, you know, this weird shit, right? And, I always thought that I had to draft what other people thought or what other people said about steps or other concepts in Narcotics Anonymous. I had to take exactly what you said and apply it to myself. But, like, I didn't understand it. I didn't understand why you thought that way or why you understood it that way. So, like, I had to gain my own understanding so I could accept it for myself. And, like, I found a definition for surrender that says allowing something else to take control. And then coming to a point of, like, understanding that, like, allowing the principles to take control of my life, right? Because, like, I never, you know, in treatment they'd be like, yeah, surrender to your disease. And that shit just never made any sense to me. Like, what do you mean? So, like, when I figured that out, and then it talks about it in the Living Clean book, like, we don't surrender to our disease. We surrender to the principles of the program. So coming to an understanding of that is that I'm actually allowing the principles of the program, Narcotics Anonymous itself, to take control of my life. I surrender to honesty. I start to kind of navigate as an honest person. Sometimes I can go a little more left with that than I probably should, and honesty without compassion is brutality, right? But for me, man, like, that's the beginning, right? There is no other way for me to start moving forward in my process of recovery is without a first step. It's without that general understanding, that move from denial to truth, the move from continuously trying to fight what this shit is, because it's not recovery that hurts, it's our resistance to it, right? A second step. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I was already talking about that point of restoration, man. I never really understood what it meant by a restoration. I just didn't. Like, what am I being restored to? I took it real literal. You know what I mean? Like I'm being restored back to a point. I don't ever really remember being, like, too wholesome. You know what I mean? I don't ever remember, like, not having something at the point of my focus that, like, I just drove through everybody and everything to get to. You know what I mean? Whether it was a $10 Ninja Turtle and my dad only wanted to buy me a $5 one, so I threw myself on the ground, started kicking and screaming. You know what I mean? Or it was my bottle of drugs that my mom hid in her car that I stole her keys and hid them for 4 days till she forgot about them and then went and got them out of her car. Right? Whatever it took. So you're telling me about a point of restoration, but what are you talking about a point of restoration? I don't ever think that I was good enough, period. Right? That whisper in the back of my head showed up pretty early when I was a kid, man. They said they probably aren't going to accept you, and they probably aren't going to love you, and you probably won't have any friends, so you better adjust yourself to a point so you don't end up lonely and forgotten, right? Because that shit still whispers in the back of my head. Better stay relevant. But like, coming to this point, my son helped me with it. The dude was like 1.5. And my son, he's a real outgoing dude, right? If any of y'all seen him, I'm sure some of you don't know him, but he's come up and asked you for things. Because he'll get what he needs anyway, shape, or form. But like, I remember seeing him navigate, like, when he was a baby, and I had worked a second step way before this, but this, to me, kind of gave me an understanding or a point of restoration is that, like, I watched this dude move throughout his life, what little he had, with full faith and love, right? This dude would do things. Like, he would walk to the end of a couch about to fall off and, like, just trust that me or his mom would be there to catch him, right? He lived his life in a point of like fully trusting that things were going to be okay no matter what happened. He would walk up to somebody and offer them a hug no matter what skin color they were, no matter how tall they were, no matter how chubby or skinny they were, no matter what they had done in the past or planned to do in the future. Like, he just showed them genuine love, right? And when I thought about it, so there is an actual point of restoration for me when I look at that. Like, moving to a point of complete faith and just general love for human beings and whatever other creatures are on this earth in general. Like, just being able to navigate throughout my life without the suspicions, without the worry that somebody's going to get over on me, because that can be a big one some days. Right? That worry that like you might hurt me or get over on me keeps me from being vulnerable, and that me not being vulnerable keeps me from being intimate. When I'm not able to be intimate, I'm not able to engage in the atmosphere of empathy. Right? Vulnerability is a key component to intimacy. If you don't have one, you don't have the other. So like allowing myself to like no matter what it is that you think or feel about whatever it is I have to say, no matter what it is I say up here, no matter whether you pay attention to me or you think what I'm saying is bullshit or you like what I'm saying or you don't, it doesn't matter. What matters is that I'm telling you the truth and I'm being vulnerable. I walk away from this right here giving you ammunition to hurt me, but being okay with it. To me, that's about as trusting as you can fucking get. Because like I always held that guard up, right? I'm looking for that point of restoration. And, like, it's okay to be who I am. Because I'm not always there. Like, the open-mindedness, hope, and belief is what I'm taught in the second step. The open-mindedness, man, because if restoration is a lifelong process, like I need to be open to those points of restoration no matter what I'm doing. I need to be open to the fact that my disease might take another face, right? Whether it be a bunch of food, whether it be a phone game, whether it be a new car, whether, you know what I mean? Whether it be how my wife is feeling about me at any point in time, because just because I ain't feeling good about myself today, I assume that she doesn't want to be with me anymore. That shit happens like that. Wake up feeling good. She's having a little bit of an off day. I'm like, oh, here we go. She's going to fucking leave me. You know what I mean? Like, those insecurities can be so ingrained in me. and so wide open at points in time that like it's just it's unnecessary. Like I move to these points that do not serve me at all. They don't serve anybody in my life, because most of the time I start feeling that insecure. Like I start saying things that I probably shouldn't be saying. You know those little sly little shit that you say at the side of your neck because you're insecure that day? Are you going to meet your boyfriend up at school? You know what I mean? She's going to college. That was a real insecure moment for me, you know? I'm a 35-year-old chubby dude who's about, you know, I'm probably about done with my real good runs in life, you know? And she's going up there, these motherfuckers that look like Gabe, you know what I mean? She's beautiful, you know? But like, it's necessary to move to those points of restoration, man, because like, realizing and taking in the tangible evidence. But like, even if she would leave, it's still going to be okay. Right? Like, I heard a dude say that he's worked steps multiple times. He's practiced all forms of religion, and he's come to a point of understanding or belief that like, the whole point is just being okay no matter what the situation is. Like, knowing that everything's going to be all right no matter what's happening. Right? And that sounds about right to me, because as long as I'm standing in that kind of faith, like, I'm able to move forward on whatever service is presented to me. Like, being open-minded to the disease taking a new face and the solution maybe looking a different way than it had yesterday. The belief is what keeps me coming back. Right? I see it. I see it in people that relapse or step away from the program and not necessarily relapse. But like, anytime you see them, they got something fucked up going on there immediately. Like, man, I should go to a meeting. That's a fucking second step to me. Right? Like, you have some belief. No matter where you're at, you know this is where the solution is. And no matter where I go, no matter what I do, like, I know that the answer is always more NA. Belief is what keeps me showing up. Because no matter what's going on here, man, I believe in Narcotics Anonymous. I believe that the solution works for me here, and I believe that the solution can work for anybody if they put in the work. And then hope. What the fuck's the point without it? Right? Like, that's how I learned to move forward. That's how I learned to show up. It's like hope that something can be different no matter what's going on. That's an old ass ringtone. Third step, man. Third step for me. Like, that was kind of broken wide open. I was working on it, and like I had some run-ins with a third step before, right? And with that third step, like, I just didn't get it. Like, turn my will and my life over to the care of God, of my understanding. How do I do that? Like, where is my direction here? Like, I just didn't get how moving forward could happen with me under the care of God, right? But I was talking to a buddy of mine, and there's a step in the flat book, and it says, what's the difference between my will and God's will? And the dude was real long-winded. I know we all got friends like that, right? Kept me on the phone for an hour for one question, but like, towards the end of the phone call, like, he said, Drew, what do you think spiritual principles are for? And that like blew my third step wide open, right? I got confirmation of it in literature from the seventh step. It talks about the direction that we receive in the third step. Well, what direction did I receive? Well, what do you think spiritual principles are for, Drew? Right? When I leave my child with one of my friends or his grandmother, he is in the care of because he is following the direction that they give. Right? So like, understanding that the direction that I've been given through the God of my understanding is spiritual principles, whatever that may be. Like, I come to a point of understanding that I am in the care of God when I'm practicing spiritual principles. I always do this thing, right? It's a visual for me. It's how my brain works. Like, when I'm all defective, I'm up here, right? But like, when I'm trying to practice spiritual principles, when I'm aware of my defects, when I'm maintaining with Narcotics Anonymous and trying my best to obtain whatever it is, that conscious contact, right? Not trying to maintain constant comfort. but trying to engage in conscious contact. Like I'm down here, right? And I waver because I'm a human being, right? But like as soon as at points in times, like my will might line up with his, right? And like that maintains me. Willingness, trust, and faith is what I'm taught there, man. Like the willingness to practice the principle that's necessary. Because that shit's not always easy for me. Like a lot of times, like, I don't want to have an adult conversation. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't. I don't want to engage in the conflict or the confrontation. Some of y'all might know me and it might not seem that way, but like my heart will start to thump when I got to engage somebody that I don't necessarily know and tell them that they hurt my feelings or that I did this and that might hurt their feelings or whatever it may be. Like, I don't necessarily like to engage in that, but like that willingness is necessary to move forward. Because then if I don't have that willingness, I end up where I'm at right now with one of my best friends. Right? A dude that he's been one of my best friends for years. And like, my fucking feelings were hurt. And like, I feel like he's doing some shit. And like, I'm unwilling to engage him because of how the fucking conversation might go. And like, we're not friends anymore. And like, it pains me every day. You know what I mean? He's one of my ride or die dudes. I'm sure some of y'all know who the fuck I'm talking about. I ain't gonna put nobody on blast, but. Like, we just ain't talking. And then the trust that would go along with that, right? When shit's scary, like, trust and faith are necessary. Like, holding the trust that no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay. Carrying that first and second step with me, man. That despite what it is I think and feel, like, I don't have to act or I can't act. And like believing that moving forward as myself is spiritual in nature and that like I'm going to be okay. Acting as if I believe, right? I might not always believe, but the second step tells me to act as if I do. Gaining some tangible evidence that shit is going to be okay either way. My fourth step, and I don't suggest this to anybody, right? My fourth step took me like 2.5 years to write. It was a long fucking time. I got a job, got real obsessy about that. Got in a relationship, got real obsessy about that. You know what I mean? And it took me a long time, man. I was real gun shy on a fourth step, right? I remember the first time I was going to work it with this other dude somewhere else. And on a car ride there, right? He runs down 1, 2, and 3 with me, right? He's like, well, he can't, so I'm gonna let him. You good? You understand? All right, fourth step. I'm like, hold the fucking phone. Like, I don't understand. That wasn't enough for me, right? Like, I get it if some people understand and grasp that shit, but I don't. What can I do? Who the fuck is he, and what am I letting him do? Like, I don't understand what you're telling me here, and now you're telling me to write down my fourth step, which I'm under the impression, right, just like everybody else is, who works their fucking fourth step, that it's the scariest step that there is, right? But the reality is it's 6. Four's already happened. 6 is happening right now, so. That shit sucks. But I wasn't prepared for it, man, and I shied away from it at that point in time. So when I actually came to it, right, like I wrote on it, and when I wrote on that fucker, I did what it tells you in the step working or in the basic text where it says, write your fourth step like there is no fifth step, right? So I did that, right, and then I get to the end, and I got one more secret to write on, and something occurs to me. There's a fucking fifth step, right? Like, there's a reading of this shit. And, like, and I'm not necessarily there, man. Like, the reality is part of my story and where that gaping hole came into me at first was, like, experiencing racism in a small white town as a brown little kid, right? When I was 7 years old, where that voice actually whispered for the first time is that, like, you're not good enough, right? When some drunk dude across the way walks out the bar and yells, if it ain't white, it ain't right. And like, I immediately notice that I'm different. You know what I mean? moving forward in this little white town and having my boys, right? And then me finding anything that was different, darker, or unable to do the things that I was able to do. So I engaged in that intolerance and that racism myself. Right? I have that written down in this step. And I'm about to go sit down with the man, one of the people that I love the most in this world. The dude who has loved me through everything that I've done, everything that I've needed. I've cried in his living room. I've called him fucking at 3 o'clock in the morning. He's celebrated with me when I got engaged. He celebrated with me when I had my child. Like, this has been one of my most important people in my life. Now I'm going to sit down and tell him that I have engaged in racism towards his race. How the fuck am I going to do that? Terrified, dude. I'm to the point that I have my backpack with my 4-step, and that fucker goes everywhere with me, right? I did. I took that shit into work with me, walked in my little locker, right? It was always in my truck, my passenger seat, I could see it. This dude comes up to me because I share that shit in a meeting while that shit's sitting right there. This dude walks up to me and he says, "Well, it says fearless and thorough. So if you're scared, you just need to put that shit down and walk away from it." Like, I don't know about all that. Like, I get what you're saying. But like, it needs to be fearless. But I feel like I wrote it fearlessly, right? But just because fear wasn't there a moment ago doesn't mean it ain't here right now. And if, like, I didn't do shit because I was scared, I wouldn't walk out of my fucking front door at any given day. So, like, to me, that's that point where it tells us that courage isn't the absence of fear, but it's being afraid and having willingness to follow through anyway. And, like, it was weird because once he gave me that suggestion and I felt like it was wrong, that's when I became willing, right? It's like once I got challenged, that's when I was willing to move forward. My wife learned to quit doing that shit to me. I remember it was spiritless. Somebody take the meeting, and I called her. I said, "Babe, I'm thinking about doing this." She's like, "I don't know. That's a long drive." I'm like, "I know, and gas, and I work." And then she's like, "Yeah, babe, just let somebody else do it." I'm like, "Fuck that." You know what I mean? Mind made up, I'm doing it, you know? But that's that shit inside. I don't know if it's that opposition that I have or what it may be, man, but it's that kind of point that, like, there's something that needs to be done, and I'm capable of doing it, you know? Where that God stirs up that belief in yourself, you know? My 4-step involved the reading of my 4-step. I went and I sat down with this man, and it was good getting that shit out. And like, he documented my defects of character that he heard when we were reading my 4-step, right? But like, there was big spiritual points in me reading my 4-step to my sponsor, right? And they were the Me Toos, right? Those Me Toos that you're terrified to show. I literally passed the one page. Like, it was like I did it on purpose, but then like something just like flipped it back over. You know what I mean? And I read him and he had a Me Too to it, you know? But a big secret that I had in my 4-step, man, is like I told people my entire life because of like the way that I was treated because of the color of my skin. Like, I figured out the most respectable, darker skinned race that there was, a Native American, right? Fucking right, everybody's about that shit, right? So I told everybody. I'm 50% Native American, 50% Irish. I probably told some of y'all in that in here, because that shit's still there. But the reality is we don't know. My dad was adopted. We don't know. But like, because of that kind of stuff, the way that I was treated and how I was engaged when I was a child, when I'm reading this shit to my sponsor, right? I'm in the middle of reading, and he starts slapping on the table. I'm like, "What are you doing, you fucking nut?" And he stops me, right? And he tells me, he said, "Drew, you're reading this to me like it's your fault that you were different and made fun of for it." Right? He's like, "That wasn't your fault. You weren't treated properly. That wasn't okay that adults did that to you or that other children treated you as different. And like I'm telling you, in that moment, I forgave myself for being different and feeling like I wasn't accepted. Like, I don't know if that means anything, but it meant so much to me. Because there's, you hold that shit against yourself. Shit that you have no, I did. Shit that I had no control, like it was my fucking fault that I'm me. There ain't fucking nothing wrong with me. And he gave me that, right? Those were the kind of moments that I had in my fourth step, you know? And we moved on to my fifth step, man. And within my fifth step, it talks about surgery of the spirit. And that surgery of the spirit, I come to understand, is like exposing the defects, right? Expose like the exact natures of our wrongs. I always thought, like, I always just assumed, because this is, I do this shit. I did this shit. Before I would get on a step, I would act like I knew what a step was, right? But then I was on the step, come to find out it was nothing what I thought it was. It always involved so much more. And I was so grateful for those later steps because of like the understanding that I gained to myself. And like our fifth step involved like us writing on the exact natures of our wrongs, which you know, it's a lot like your sixth step. Timmy just called me yesterday and he said, "Do I have to write on all my defects again?" I said, "Yep." But that's just how we do it. So like it was the engagement of like seeing how my defects affected me and hurt me and other people throughout my life, becoming more aware of those defects, right? It was a graceful lead into my sixth step, man. And six was hard because like I moved into this point of perfection because it's like you know what the problem is now, so like you have to fix the problem, right? It's like me, I'm not a plumber, right? But I know that my pipes are burst, so I'm down there trying to fucking fix it, and the whole time I'm getting covered in shit, right? I swear to God, that's what it was like. And like moving through my sixth step, man, like it was that point of perfection that really hurt, man, because like I was trying to control it. And trying to control something that you're powerless over is like trying to control a grizzly bear. It's like getting in a ring with a grizzly bear. You're the only one who comes out beat the fuck up, right? And like like I come to understand, man, that it's a point of becoming entirely ready because you gain awareness. I gained awareness of it. And there's a point of personal responsibility that came with the sixth step for me because like I was the only one who actually knew my motives, right? Defect is all about motives. I was on the highway going to Marlikna as RCM for Laurel Mountain Highlands area 2 weeks after my son was born. My wife still had stitches in her vagina and I'm flying down the highway, leaving her alone. Postpartum depression, a first-time mother with a two-week-old child, and I'm flying down the highway going to shop at the outlets and eat fucking Texas Roadhouse going to hang out. Oh, and they gave me this life. But the reality was, man, it's like when I look at my motives and I can figure out where the actual defect was, man, it's like I was trying to prove something to the people around me. I was doing it out of ego, not out of selfless service. And like I caused harm because of it, right? But it looked real spiritual on the outside. That motherfucker's all about NA. But anybody who's been around for a while, like, damn, dude. Might want to put that ego away for a minute. But like I had to become personally accountable to myself, man. Like if I'm not identifying my motives for my actions, then I don't know if I'm in defect or not. So once I figured all that shit out, man, like I come to this point of like even the defects that I wanted to hold on to were hurting me. They were hurting me, and I moved to this point of like being entirely ready because I just want to be who God wants me to be because it doesn't hurt as fucking bad. It's like that point of like suffering or pain. Pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. When I'm trying to maintain outside God's will, man, I'm suffering. That's my reality. And it hurt, man. It hurt bad for about a year, year and a half. I'm sure there's people around us. Me and my one buddy were on the sixth step at the same time. And we were a fucking shit show. Yelling at people in meetings and shit. We were the NA Nazis in Altoona. We'd show up to, people would call us. I'd be at home in my recliner in my underpants, right? And somebody would call me, they'd be like, Drew, they got Rise for Recovery literature here up next to the NA stuff. I would throw my sweatpants on, walk right into that meeting, look everybody in the eye, and slide that shit into the garbage and leave. Right? And then yell at people afterwards, right? I'd wait out in the parking lot for them. But like, that's what I was in the midst of. That had nothing to do with selfless service. That had nothing to do with traditions. That had everything to do with me trying to fucking be better than you. Trying to show you that I knew something. But like moving, like the movement into seven, man, I'll tell you what, I don't think I ever felt more relief or felt more closer to God once I read a statement in seven. It says in the step working guide is that once we realize that we are human beings and just trying to do our best, we are able to allow other people to be human beings and allow them to try to do their best. That still makes me feel good. Like seven gave me that humility, that point of the acceptance of my assets and my liabilities, the acceptance of my humanity. Humility, humanity. Right? I'm a human being. And so are you. And this shit hurts. But it feels good too. The last thing you need is me beating shit down your leg when you're trying to do your very best. Saving me. But I'll still tell you the truth. The seven gave me that God moment, man. It gave me that cushion, right? So like when I see that defect coming, because like I maintain awareness of them today to the best of my ability through acknowledgement of my motives, right? Like it gives me that moment that like I don't have to act, I don't have to engage in the shortcoming, right? I've been taught. Rich always told me that the defect is a flat tire, shortcoming is me driving on it, right? It gives me that point, man, where like I can maintain the love rather than engage in the hate or engage in the defect, whatever it may be. It allows me to be a human. It allows you to be a human. There's a lot of correlation for me in a first and second step and a third step within the seventh step, right? I moved into an eight step, and after four through seven, man, I was able to see the parts that I played and the way that I hurt people. It moved me out of the victim mentality, right? Because I'm a fucking victim, right? No matter what it is that happens, I want to blame my wife for everything. It's all her fault. You know, I could be driving out to Indiana in my car, and it breaks down, and it's, you know, if she wouldn't have said this shit this morning, and you know what I mean? Like, I will move into that victim mentality like that, but like that four through seven allowed me to figure out how to navigate outside of that. And once I quit being a victim, man, I was able to see the people that I hurt. Like, I'm able to actually take responsibility for my actions, and like, I'm actually able to make a list. Like, in this list, I was told to make the list with, like, the general specific ways in which I hurt people. And, like, I'm telling you that my fourth step took me 2.5 years. Like, it took me probably 7 years to work all 12. Right? My experience is different than other people's, man. That, you know, as many ways to recover in NA as there is fucking members of NA. But, like, I had some time from when I committed these acts to that point in time, and that shit brought me right back to it, man. I was working third shift in a detox unit right now. I stole my mom's car and all the terrible shit that I put her through. Like, it was terrible. I felt it for days. But, like, I was able to take responsibility for it, man. I was able to put the things down that I needed to put down. I mean, I still ain't done with it. I've always been taught and told, like, you're never done with the eighth step. The list will grow. You know, it's just maintaining the willingness to continue to include and do my best to not. Nine, honestly, like I went to institutions, I started my financial amends. It was funny because in the midst of nine, I ran up these credit cards when my wife was pregnant, never fucking paid them, and I got sued as soon as I got into nine, right? Like, I got called to court to pay this shit back. And, like, I'm going through changes, right? Like, I was upset because we are going to be broke. And I was sitting in my home group. Sunday morning had started by that point in time. I was sitting in my home group obsessing about it. And, like, I read something in the basic text, man, and it brought me right to that point of, like, you're right where you're supposed to be, right? That, like, I'm in nine, and I'm given these opportunities to make these financial amends. And, like, it didn't take the fact that I had to pay this money and the fact that, like, we're going to have to cut groceries in half for a couple weeks. Like, it didn't take that shit away. But, like, it allowed me to go to the grocery store, buy these groceries, and actually cut them in half because, like, God was present. If I'm right where I'm supposed to be, then God is right next to me. That's my understanding, right? It's like, even though it doesn't seem like we'll have enough food, He's led me this far. So I'm sure I can figure out a way to make a grilled cheese. You know what I mean? But, like, I'd been clean for a while, man, and, like, I'd already told these people that I was sorry and, like, done things to improve the relationships and paid monies back and engaged. And a lot of people were just like, just keep doing what you're doing, man. I did some, there's shit that happened in the military, man, that, like, I ensure that, like, any chance I get to donate to children, that, like, I do it. Like, there's shit that hangs on me that I don't necessarily talk about and don't really want to. But, like, moving through nine, man, like, allowed me to, like, start clearing that shit up, right? Four through nine was a process within its own right, man, because it allowed for me to move a lot of that junk out of the fucking way, right? It allowed me to start that engagement of love, right? Because to me, God is love, love is God, it's all about love, right? That free flow of energy from one to another. Everything we do is love, right? Spiritual principles are based in love. It's a loving act. Once I'm able to kind of move away from that shit and learn how to address it once it starts building back up again, like, that's when I'm able to start engaging, right? That's when 10 actually becomes a thing. And I remember thinking that 10 was just like this point that after every day I had to sit down and write all the nasty shit I did and tell everybody I'm sorry, right? But there was so much more to the 10th step. The 10th step is like the general application of the principles in my everyday life. I was like, damn. Like, that seems like a lot to do to me. But, like, it's that spot check on a consistent basis, man. It's that point of accountability for me. Is that, like, am I navigating within the principles of Narcotics Anonymous? Am I holding myself accountable? Like, am I maintaining my inventory? And inventory is a spiritual principle, right? Like, am I maintaining this on a daily basis? Am I allowing to keep that shit out of the way? Because, like I said, it piles back up again. 10 moved me into 11, man. And with 11, I feel like 11's just continued for me. It's just maintained. Like, I've held a belief in God, but, like, I'm just trying to continue to improve the relationship. I wasn't the dude who walked in here with an issue with God. I was the dude who walked in here that didn't know God, but I didn't have an issue with it. It was kind of like a big white blank board with God at the top. And then, like, I've just been able to fill in the characteristics as I go. I don't know. 11, man, to me is an everyday thing as well. Right? That prayer in 11 that it talks about. Like, that's the prayer that I pray every night. I've heard people kind of shy away from that kind of shit. That, you know. But grant me knowledge of your will and the power to carry it out. What I've found, man, is that, like, maintaining the will of God is where I'm most comfortable. To the best of my ability. And then the power to carry it out. So whatever it is you decide that needs to happen, help me out. You know what I mean? Give me an opportunity to participate in the way that I need to participate. Give me the opportunity to keep myself out of the way so that I can be of service in which whatever way I should be at that point in time. And moving into 12, man, for me was like, service is the purpose. I feel most comfortable when I'm in service to other human beings and creatures within the world, right? It maintains a purpose for me. Because I can move into that point of like, what's this all for? And then a fucking dude reaches his hand out and says, please help me. I'm like, oh. I'm kind of at the end. That's all I got, guys. Love you. That was good.
All right, can we close with the weed version of Serenity Prayer, please? God,
grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
All right, if anybody's bought any tickets for the shirts in the bag up here, we're going to be announcing the winners. Do you want me to do it now? And the 50-50.